In 1978, there was a sophomore boy in high school that tried out for the varsity basketball team at Emsley A. Laney High School. There were 15 roster spots, and he was nervous about trying out, but he was a very good basketball player, and even as a sophomore, thought he would go ahead and try out for the team. However, he did not make the cut. The boy was very embarrassed. He was saddened for not making the team. He went home, he locked himself in the room, and he cried. He felt totally rejected. That sorrow and rejection turned into motivation, hard work and determination. And he practiced even more in the off season. And this particular individual would also grow an extra 4 inches as well, so that would help his cause. But because of his diligence, his hard work, his effort, he tried out again, and he made the team this year. Not only was he very successful in his junior year, but he was one of the best players in the nation. He ended up going on in his senior year, becoming a McDonald's All-American. You're like the best 20 in the entire nation. And then he ended up getting a scholarship offer from North Carolina, where he ended up being the best player to ever come out of North Carolina. Now, I think most of you probably know who I'm talking about, but this individual ended up going on to the NBA, and he became probably and arguably the best player to ever play the game of basketball. That is Michael Jordan. And yes, Michael Jordan was rejected by a high school basketball coach. He did not make the cut. And I know you're thinking, how in the world did that happen? And you would not want to be that varsity coach known for cutting Michael Jordan. Like, didn't you see the potential there? What happened? Why did you reject Michael Jordan to be on your team? And you know, many do believe that he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time in basketball. You know, as they make the parallels with sports. Sports players, Tom Brady, and then now they're saying, Tom Brady is the GOAT, the greatest of all-time quarterback, but Patrick Mahomes is the baby GOAT, so a developing greatest of all time. I don't know how all that works, but, he is probably and arguably the best player to ever live. Now, I know there are those that will argue and say, no, LeBron James, and this current team, that they are the greatest. I saw a meme that was there this past week. It said a news reporter asked Michael Jordan if he thought the 90s Bulls team could beat the LeBron James team in 2021, Lakers. Michael Jordan said, yes, but only by about 2 or 3 points. And the reporter said, well, why such a close game? And Michael Jordan says, well, we're almost 60 years old now. Michael Jordan is arguably the best player to ever play the game. He was surrounded by a very good supporting cast. But the greatest player of all time, he was rejected. What about the greatest of all time? The greatest man to ever live, that being Jesus Christ. He is the greatest teacher to ever live, God in the flesh, the one who created all things. The greatest man to ever live, perfect in all his ways, rejected by man. What a rejection. And John 1 really puts this rejection into perspective. It reveals to us, one, the divinity of Christ, but it also shares in that rejection. It explains some of that rejection, how significant that rejection was. John 1 and verse 1. John 1 in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, the Logos, the divine expression, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, he, Christ, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world that he created, the men in this world did not know him. He came to his own creation that he made, and you think about over the, how many years did it take, in creating a masterpiece called the human body and creating mankind and to have that thought process and the capabilities that he created for mankind, the miracle of birth, the miracle of life. And he made this masterpiece and he created it. And then he comes and dwells with the creation and that creation rejects him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. What a rejection. It'd be like, you know, the children, your own children, you love so much. They reject you. That doesn't happen. They show love. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. There's that parental relationship there, that family relationship, and to those who believe in his name. The majority rejected Christ. What a rejection. That is incredible to think that he was rejected in such a way, the Creator, and yet his creation rejected him. Do you think that he felt pain? Do you think that saddened him? I mean, obviously he's a passionate Creator, and he's the one that gave us our emotions that we have, the ones of love and joy and sadness. Did he have any pain from that rejection? We know that Christ was tested and tempted in all areas, but he was perfect. He faced all aspects of rejection, and yet he still responded perfectly. Rejection is one of the most difficult emotions to process. It is one of the most difficult emotions and suffering to deal with, to cope with. But Jesus Christ went through it. He was rejected. He suffered. He suffered an emotional anguish. He was rejected. He was despised. His teachings were called blasphemy and lies. And yet, he was persecuted unto death. So Jesus Christ was totally and in every way rejected. Today I want to look at this very specific type of suffering that Christ went through. Rejection. It is a type of suffering that he went through. And as we draw closer to the Passover, I believe this will be good for us to recognize. We all face rejection in this life. We all are faced with a certain amount of emotional anguish and suffering because we are going to suffer like Christ suffered if we are following Christ. So if we think we'll never be rejected, never feel rejected, we must think again because we are to follow Christ, and he was rejected. So today I want to look at 5 points on handling rejection in this life. What should be our perspective when it comes to rejection? And I did only have 4 points, but because Mr. Banks had 5 points, then I made it 5 points. No, I had to have... You know, typically, it just kind of, I was thinking about that the other day, typically only have about 4 points, and I don't even really go out thinking, okay, I need 4 points of this sermon, but that's just kind of the way it's been lately. So one of these days, I'll have a sermon with no points. It'll just be start to finish on something. But today, we have 5 points. How can we handle rejection? How should we handle rejection in this life? We all want to feel accepted. We all want to feel cared for. We all want to feel loved, liked. We all want to feel a part of the team, a part of the body of Christ. We're, as it was mentioned in the sermonette, you know, we are building together. We are a part of the same building process. We're a part of the building. And we are a part of that team. We are growing. We are building. And we are to have unity. But what happens if we ever feel rejected? Point number one. Before we ever experience rejection, you need to expect rejection. expect rejection. There is a song by George Strait. I don't know the title. I believe it's called Check Yes or No. And it starts out with this question of being accepted or not by a third grader. You know, elementary school crush. And do you love me? Do you want to be my friend? Check yes or no. But the song goes on in perfect harmony, basically from the elementary school crush. And then, she says yes, and she becomes his wife. And now fast forward 20 years later, and the same thing. Do you love me? Do you want to be my friend? And if you do, well, then don't be afraid to take me by the hand if you want to. I think this is how love goes. Check yes or no. Now, wouldn't it be nice if that's just kind of the way life was, where is that initial acceptance, and then it all just kind of falls into place. Isn't that the way love goes? Check yes or no. We know that is not the case. We know, even in love, that is not the case. Many times, a man has asked a woman out on a date, and the answer is no. Would you like to dance? No. Okay. There's going to be those disappointments, but that's life. There's going to be rejection. Trying out for a basketball team, there's going to be rejection. Trying out, applying for a job, you don't always get it. I don't know how many times, many interviews, you don't get the job. But you keep raising your hand, you keep trying, keep making that effort. Internal positions, we keep trying for a certain job, you may not always get it. It goes on to the next person. They may already have somebody lined up, but you keep raising your hand. There's rejection in this life, but more so, there's going to be rejection just for following Jesus Christ's example and his way of life, following the Ten Commandments and striving to be righteous. That is a part of our calling. We must recognize that our calling, to a certain degree, involves rejection, and that is not easy. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. To think about our calling that we have, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. This is no surprise for us when we counted the cost prior to baptism. We understand what part of, to a certain degree, we understand what it means to follow Christ, and we continue to learn and grow and understand. But 1 Peter 2, let's in verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. He suffered, and we too will suffer. And there is a variety of sufferings you can face in this life, physical, emotional, persecutions. There are certain sufferings that we will face in this life. But God has called us to follow Christ. And we accepted that way of life as a part of our calling, and we too will suffer rejection at times. We will suffer as well because we are to follow in his steps. Again, this was understanding, this is a part of the understanding that we all had prior to baptism and prior to that commitment that we made. We counted the cost, we reviewed those scriptures. We understand, okay, I'm committed to live this way of life. And if we think about it, prior to God calling us, we rejected God's way of life. We rejected Christ. If we have ever sinned at that moment when we choose to sin, we rejected Christ's way of life and that right way of life. We rejected him at that time. We've all been guilty of rejecting Jesus Christ. But then God called us to his way of life, and then we reject being a slave to sin, and we are then yoked to Christ. We are a slave of righteousness, and God calls us to follow Christ. Part of that calling includes facing certain sufferings and rejections in this life, but we understand what was part of that commitment. Someone who signs up to be a door-to-door salesman doesn't think, I'm not going to get rejected. That would be a rude awakening, I'm going to have you go door to door. I want you to sell these Alpine air purifiers. I hope you're really successful today. Go door to door slammed shut, you know. And I remember we had high school fundraisers, and you know, you go door to door and sell magazines. And I remember I went all throughout my neighborhood. I was going to be the first one to go do it before everybody else went through the neighborhood. And there was acceptance, and then there was rejection. But anybody in sales, they know you're not going to have 100% acceptance. Anyone who commits to following God's way of life knows they're not going to receive 100% acceptance. There is a sales book, though, that's out there. It kind of teaches you a different frame of mind to expect rejection. Don't think it's going to be a surprise. I think it's entitled Go for No, and it's a certain sales book. I was in sales for a period of time, but it basically try to change your perspective, like anticipate no, and then when you get yes, it'll be unexpected, but go for no, and it was a thing of numbers, and just, you know, go get those no's, go get rejected. All right, everybody wants to be a salesman, right? Rejection is hard. Nobody likes being rejected. Sales may not be for you, but, you know, rejection is a part of this life in following Jesus Christ and His way of life, because we are, by following His way of life, we are rejecting the world, and sometimes that pricks people's conscience. They don't like that. Well, why are you trying to be different? Christmas is what everybody does. By you not doing that, you know, we have all these Christmas lights, and they all are coordinated in our neighborhood, and then yours is not. We don't like that. You're really breaking the trend here. That's kind of the way it is in our neighborhood. I've never seen a neighborhood coordinated Christmas lights, and then you get to our house, like, boy, we're the stick in the mud bringing it down. But just for doing things differently, there's consequences. You're going to face rejection. John 15 and verse 18. John 15 in verse 18. John 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Don't like what they heard. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and have also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. So we know that if they hated Christ and we are following Christ, if Christ is in us, they will hate us without a cause. Well, what about the apostles that tried to take the gospel message to the world that went out? The only one of the apostles generally thought to have died of natural causes, of course, was the apostle John. But if you look at many of the historical facts from a variety of sources, most faced gruesome and horrible deaths. They were completely rejected. Let's drop down to chapter 16 of John and verse 1. Chapter 16 and verse 1. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Now he's about to basically tell them, there's something that you need to expect. And when we're thinking about this one point of expect rejection in this life, this was what he was advising the apostles as well. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Don't be surprised when this comes. Remember what I told you. Expect rejection. And these things I did not tell you, I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Jesus Christ warned them of what was to come. He warned them of the rejection to come. Expect rejection. 1 Peter 2 in verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2 in verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, as was brought out in the sermonette, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Here it goes over some of these, the building process and what is involved in that building process, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." But they rejected him, yet he's the chief cornerstone. And we too are living stones in the building, a spiritual house, and we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. That could be prayer, fasting, praises, but also a living sacrifice. We are to be living sacrifice. And what does that entail? Well, one is obedience. Obedience to God's way of life. It's the way we live our lives, as a living sacrifice. And at times, we face certain consequences for living God's way of life. Some have been totally rejected by family for obedience to God, for following Christ. One particular minister shared a story with me and of his past when he told his family, and basically, he was tried, they tried to kill him, basically, after finding out his way of life. He was ran out of town, basically. Tried to murder him. Some have been fired for keeping the Sabbath. Some have lost jobs because they have refused to sleep with their bosses because they want to honor their commandment of God. Some children have been made fun of for not keeping the holidays. Some have had their spouses leave them over church doctrine. Now, there are many forms of rejection and persecution that the Church of God members have faced in this life. But that's also a part of that building process. Not specifically those events that I mentioned, but specifically those sacrifices that are made. That's a sacrifice for keeping God's way of life. And that's like a sweet aroma to God. It's a part of being built up in God's spiritual house. Those sacrifices are precious to God. Part of our calling involves walking in Christ's footsteps, following his footsteps, and he was certainly rejected by man. Isaiah 53 in verse 3. Isaiah 53 in verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." You think about Peter and how he rejected him three times in such a short amount of time. That wasn't his intention to reject Christ, but he did, and afterwards he wept. Yeah, and he repented, and Christ continued to work with him. We do make mistakes at times. "Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray." We've all made the wrong decision. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. And that means when we have done that, we have gone astray. We have rejected the shepherd. We have rejected the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. So at When we think about sin, and we think about when we have sinned, and if we've practiced sin in the past before repenting and turning from that, we rejected Jesus Christ. We rejected the shepherd. As followers of Christ, we must realize that we are to walk as he walked, and that means that we too will face rejection at times to a certain degree. Expect rejection. Point number two, remember why God allows us to go through rejection. Remember why he allows us to go through rejection. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. There's a purpose for it. He allows it. There's also a great reward too. And when we are rejected, we actually are glorifying God, and we were rejected for righteousness. If we are rejected for righteousness' sake, we are glorifying God in our actions. 1 Peter 4 in verse 12. 1 Peter 4 in verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Again, I guess that could kind of fit into that first point too, as far as expect. There are things that we can expect. Don't think it strange, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings. And to the point that you partake in the sufferings that Christ went through, rejoice in that. That's not very easy. Why? Why rejoice in something like that? That when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. I will share in his glory. There's a reward. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, which is a type of rejection, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. To be a light to the world, to glorify Christ in our examples that we set. When we face certain persecution, know that God has our back. And we are blessed to go through that. He will help us. We are glorifying him, and he will help us through that. He will bring us to a reward. He will bring us to joy. One of my favorite scriptures, and we should all keep in mind, is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. There are things that we face in this life. We may not understand why we are going through it at the time. It may not be fair. We may not understand. There could be false accusations, slander, rejection. This is all what Jesus Christ experienced. But it's for a reason, and it will work for good if we are following Christ. As long as we are tied to Christ, as long as we are yoked to his way of life, to Jesus Christ, it will work for good. And God sees the big picture. Think about Joseph. He more than likely did not understand why God was allowing him to go through everything that he went through. He was rejected by his brothers. They despised him. They were jealous of him. Some wanted to murder him. Some wanted to stick up for him by throwing him in a pit or selling him instead, selling him as a slave. Well, you think that ever crossed his mind? Why am I going through this? Why are you allowing me to go through this? I just shared that dream. I just shared my dreams with them. But in the end, it made sense. It finally made sense to Joseph and all that he went through. It was unfair. He was thrown into prison unfairly. But in the end, as he reveals his brothers who I am, he tells him, and this is interesting, we won't turn there, but he says, don't fret, basically, because of what happened in the past. And he says, God allowed this to happen so that I would be able to save your lives by great deliverance. And he says that, by great deliverance. This is why he allowed it to happen. And so now it was not you that sent me here, but God. There was purpose for what was happening, and in that case, there was great deliverance. It worked for good. What Jesus Christ went through was ultimately for good, and it was for great deliverance from mankind's sin. what we are enduring as Christians is for good, because we are glorifying God. We are lights to the world. And because God is leading us to a great reward and deliverance from this world. Again, there are so many that have had to, who have stood up for the truth and have had to go through so much, and so much within families, that rejection. But they must know it's not for vain. It's not done in vain. God will lead them to a good reward. It's a part of walking as Christ walked. And it will work for good. There is a great reward. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Those who have had to go through those things, those who have counted the cost and then had to face certain things that maybe they didn't want to face. And rejection is being one of them. God sees the big picture. He knows. He understands. Matthew 19 and verse 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, basically who have loved less, father, mother, loved less, brother and sister, to follow his way of life, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. A great reward for those who have had to make great sacrifices. Everyone has a different story to share in their past and what they've gone through. There is a great reward. Luke 6 and verse 22. Luke 6 and verse 22. And this would fit in within the Beatitudes, and eventually I'd like to get to this particular Beatitude. But Luke 6 and verse 22, not Luke 22 and verse 6 like I just went to, Luke 6 and verse 22, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, that's a type of rejection. We want to be included. We want to be accepted. But blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. There's an end result that God has in mind for whatever individuals are having to go through. For in like manner, their fathers did to the prophets. It's hard to rejoice. It's hard to be joyful going through certain trials like that, like is mentioned. But when it happens, we do have to realize and think, God knows, God understands, He sees what's going on. And it will work for good for those who God has called. Point number three, when it comes to rejection, remember dust and ducks. Remember dust and ducks. And I'll explain. when it comes to rejection in this life, you want to, there's going to be times, this is more so probably from the physical example, or when we're rejected, we face rejection in this physical life, and what is our response going to be? Sometimes we have to dust off our sandals, so to speak, and kind of move on. Things happen. We are going to be rejected. So move on. Keep pressing forward. Do what we need to do. Keep at it. Don't give up. Dust the sandal off. Dust off your sandals and move on. And I'll get to a specific scripture on that. But then the other, we remember ducks. Think water off a duck's back. You have to think, we are going to face rejection. Expect it. Know it. And then when it happens, don't let it get you. Don't let it eat you up. Don't be overly sensitive. There, it can be someone else's problem when one has rejected somebody, but then it can become your own if you're the one rejected, where it can harbor bitterness, it can harbor frustration, it can lead to a sin. It can be a physical type of rejection. Even in the job situation, coworkers, why did they get that reward? That's not fair. And then, well, that's their problem. They rejected you for this particular reward. Some have felt, I deserve that reward. I worked three times harder. They come in, they don't even answer the phone. What's going on? They get the reward. They get the bonus. Now it becomes your problem if you allow it to. It can eat one up. It can cause bitterness. It can cause hatred. We have to learn to sometimes dust off our sandals, move on. Okay, that is what it is. Move on. Water off a duck's back. Dust and ducks. We live in a world where people do not know how to handle rejection. And we cannot conform to the world in that regard. There's going to be times when we are rejected. What if we express our opinion and somebody does not like your opinion? Well, okay. Water off a duck's back. That's a type of rejection. Maybe we post something on Facebook. This is going to be the greatest post ever, so I'm going to get 300 likes on this. You get two. come on. I know these people saw that. It's a little bit of a rejection. That can make one feel discouraged. Now, is that going to make it your problem? I know some have gotten off of Facebook altogether because they say, something about it, whenever I post something, I'm looking, who's liking? And if they don't, I'm like, why? why don't they like this? Well, it's a type of rejection in a way. How do we respond? Have you ever wanted to share something with somebody that you've made? I've worked really hard on these chocolate anchovy cookies. Would you like a bite? No, thank you. Why not? You feel rejected. Teens, you might have asked someone out for a date and they said no. So what do? You never ask anybody out ever again. Don't want to face that rejection. I asked a girl out. I was 9 years old. She said no. Never again. Don't even try. You have to apply the go for no principle on that. You just don't give up. I do like to apply the go for no principle in shopping for used cars or different things. All they can say is no. If they want 10,000, you ask, I'll give you three. So maybe embarrassing for your wife, she's nudging you. Why are you not that low? Go for no. All they can do is say no. And what if they say yes? Then you don't buy the car because something's wrong with it. It's like, no. Okay, that was too low of an offer. I'm going to pay you five for that, not three. But all you can do is say no. Sometimes you have to, water off a duck's back. They said no, try again. But even again, trying out for certain teams, some have never tried out for a team because they're afraid they will not make the team. To have that rejection, to feel that rejection. I remember those feelings all too well. I remember trying out for the basketball team in eighth grade, and I worked really hard in the off season, and we had a new coach, and I was so excited, but there's still, am I going to make the team or not? You have all these boys coming out to try out. Hey, you weren't going to try out. Why are you here? We want less people trying out, not more. But, we go through all of, week's drills, and he's monitoring who he's going to pick up. And then it comes selection Monday or Tuesday, whatever it is. And, nobody wants to hear their name called back into the office. So we're doing drills, layup drills, other drills, and you hear Johnny or somebody, okay, he goes back. And he comes out with a long face and tears, and you're like, oh, no, don't want to hear your name, and continue to do these drills. And just kind of ignore what's going on. And then I hear Caleb Froge, John Paxton, go back. Oh, no. Before I could even be rejected, I just, hands in the face, I'm sitting in the chair just crying. It was devastating for me. It just did not, I wanted to make that team so bad. I loved basketball. And before he could tell us that we didn't make the team, he said, I know you guys have been working really hard, and this is how I plan to use you guys this year. And he went over details. I'm like, so we're not cut? No. I remember getting up and giving him a hug, teary hug. I'm so happy. I loved basketball. So, I wasn't rejected that time. Things flipped, but he was trying to do that so that keep people guessing who got cut, who didn't. I didn't see it at the time. Well, that was hard. But it made me also feel like appreciate that now, later, not at the time, what it felt like to be cut. And it is painful, especially if you love that certain trade or that certain hobby. You can empathize with what one goes through. The rejection is tough. How should we respond? How do we respond? How do we handle it? Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player to ever play the game, he was rejected. So he dusted off his sandals, he got to work, he moved on, he kept pushing forward, and he didn't give up. What did the apostles do when they were rejected? What did they do? Well, I'm not going to another city. That's it. Never again. I'm not going to continue to preach the gospel. Matthew 10 in verse 5. Matthew 10 and verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city." Move on. If they don't accept, move on. We must also at times let insults roll off like water off a duck's back. We can't take things to heart. We can't be overly sensitive. We cannot respond quickly with anger. Somebody offends or be easily offended, quick to respond to insults. Proverbs 12 and verse 16, the New International Version says, Proverbs 12 and verse 16, New International Version, "Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult." Water off a duck's back. But what if we hear something about us that we don't like? "I can't believe they said this about me. I can't believe that." Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21, "Also do not take to heart anything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you." Well, know that there are times people are going to talk about you. It just is what it is. And vice versa. Don't take it to heart. Do not be easily offended. Water off a duck's back. 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 4 and 5. This is love. This is part of love's definition. "Love suffers long. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely and does not seek its own. It is not provoked and thinks no evil." It thinks good of people. Choose to think of the good of people. Don't be easily provoked. Point number four when it comes to rejection. Beware of deception. Satan is a great deceiver. If we aren't careful, we could reject Christ for a second time. We must not reject Christ. Don't deceive yourself and reject Christ twice. Again, Satan is the master of deception. He's worked very hard to deceive us. We already at one point have rejected Christ. This is prior to our commitment at baptism. Once we have committed to God's way of life, we want to make sure we never go back. We never want to become unyoked. We are yoked with Christ. We are to stay yoked. We don't want to reject that calling. We reject it a second time, and that's it. We only get one opportunity in that regard. We don't want to be surprised at the end when Christ says, you say, Lord, Lord, I never knew you. Well, what was it? It was lawlessness. It was not obedience. It was not following his way of life. They were unyoked. They were not yoked. They rejected the commandments. And if in that particular verse where he says, Lord, Lord, and he says, I don't know you, it was lawlessness, and it was because they did not have love for their brother. That is a major part of staying yoked, is having love for one another. They did not walk with Christ. There's a unity that God desires. And when we break away from that unity, we become unyoked. When we're here and fellowshipping, that's why, webcasting is only, it's for those exceptions. It's for those that can't make it. It's for those that are sick. It is for those who can't be here. The health reasons is for shut-ins. It's a blessing to those, but we have been called to be a part of the fellowship, and we are a part of the body of Christ. We are a part of that fellowship, and we are here, and we fellowship. It's for fellowship, but the fellowship of Christ. When we are fellowshipping together, we are fellowshipping with Christ. We don't forsake the fellowship. Second Peter 2 and verse 18. 2 Peter 2 and verse 18. And this is basically to avoid deception, to be aware of it, to be aware of Satan's tactics, and so much of it is yielding to lawlessness, yielding to one who is teaching lawlessness. 2 Peter 2 and verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, slaves of sin. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so they rejected that way of life, if they have, and then they again are entangled in them, so then they reject Christ after tasting that good gift of the Holy Spirit, the latter end is worse than that of the beginning. For it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness. Again, this has to do with living a right way of life according to God's laws, righteousness. Then having known it at all, to turn from the holy commandments delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. When we are washed and we are cleansed by the blood of Christ, and we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, and then one has tasted that good gift of God's Spirit and goes back to a different way of life and says, I don't want any of that anymore. Now there's a problem. But we're not talking about we stumble, we slip, we repent, we go back to God and ask for forgiveness and to be cleansed. That's different. That's wrestling against sin. Peter didn't think he would ever reject Christ, and yet he did. He rejected him three times, but he was convicted, and God worked with him in great ways afterwards. This is not talking about one slipping and stumbling. This is talking about rejecting Christ after knowing his way of life and the righteousness he desires. Last point as we wrap it up, we'll have two scriptures to conclude. Last point, if we do not reject Christ, he will not reject us. If we do not reject Christ, he will not reject us. We may suffer rejection in this life, we may suffer for righteousness' sake, but as long as we continue on that path, as long as we continue to stay committed, and our goal, of course, is to be close to God. As long as we maintain that close relationship and continue on that path, continue to overcome, he will not forsake us. He will not reject us. Romans 8 and verse 31. And that is encouraging for us to know God is for us. He is the one that has called us to this calling. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to be in His family. We're part of His creation. He created us not to reject Him. He wanted us to accept Him. And He wants to accept us into His family. As long as we remain committed, we will be accepted. We will be reconciled to the Father. He has died so that we can be reconciled, so we can be accepted by the Father, and our sins are cleansed. Romans 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The desire is so we will inherit a part of His inheritance in glory, inherit all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We know Satan is the one who is the accuser of the brethren, but it is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That shows the depth that He wants us to succeed. There's nothing that will separate us from that bond, that love that He has, as long as we don't embrace the other. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, but Christ, who has experienced all things, and who has experienced all rejection, who in all ways was tempted and experienced all rejection, He is our advocate. He was accused falsely. He is our advocate. And it's a wonderful thing that we have Him as our advocate. One final scripture, Psalm 94 and verse 14. The intent, if we do not reject Christ, He will not reject us. Psalm 94 and verse 14. Psalm 94 and verse 14. For the Lord will not cast off His people. He will not leave us or forsake us. He has called us to be a part of His kingdom, to be a part of His family. Nor will He forsake His inheritance. I mean, I don't know if you've really thought of you or the body of Christ as being a part of His inheritance. We know the body of Christ is the bride of Christ, is going to be the future bride of Christ. We're a part of His inheritance. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. God will not leave us or forsake us. He will not reject His own. His own rejected Him. He will not reject His own, those who want to be a part of His way of life. The reason Jesus Christ suffered what He suffered and was rejected in the way that He did unto death was so that we can be a part of the body of Christ, so that we could be accepted and not rejected. Satan will continue to state his case on why God the Father and Jesus Christ should reject them. Look, they've sinned. Look what they've done. Reject them. And he will continue to do that until the very end. But Christ, who suffered the most unjust way, the most rejected without a cause, who is treated the most unfairly, He is our advocate. And He desires for us to be accepted by the Father if we repent of sin. So I hope this has been helpful in reviewing the topic of rejection. Again, rejection is one of the most difficult emotions to face in this life. Christ was rejected and a man of sorrow. He suffered rejection so that we could have great deliverance from sin. Joseph suffered rejection so that his family could have great deliverance. And God is creating a family. He wants us to be a part of His family. It is for the future. So trust God. Never give up. Look to the future. At times when you feel rejected, go to God. He knows. He sees the big picture. We may have to dust off our feet and let water go off like a duck's back, but we must continue to press forward, never give up, and realize why Christ did what He did. It is not so we will be rejected, but so that we will be accepted into the family of God.